Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY24 earnings conference call of Kiri Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star followed by zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to hand over the conference to Mr. Amit Thakkar from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Amit Thakkar.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. My name is Amit Thakkar from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Kiri Industries Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the second quarter and half year of the financial year 2024. Before we begin, I would like to mention a short cautionary statement, as always. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. I would now like to introduce you to the management participating with us in the conference call. We have with us Mr. Manish Kiri, Managing Director, Mr. Jay Shirani, Senior Manager, Accounts and Finance, and Mr. Suresh Gondalia, Company Secretary. I would now request Mr. Manish Kiri to give us his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the earnings conference call for the second quarter and half of the financial year 2024. Let me first brief you on the financial performance of the second quarter and half year of the financial year 2024, followed by the operational highlights. On a standalone basis, during quarter two FY24, Kiri attained sales revenue of 151 crores, which grew by about 7% year-on-year basis, and incurred an EBITDA loss of 19 crores. Net loss for the quarter was 34 crores. Coming to half-year numbers, the company attained standalone sales revenue of 293 crores, lower by approximately 6% year-on-year, and EBITDA loss of 31 crores, against EBITDA loss of 64 crores in the same period of the last financial year. Net loss was 35 crores versus net loss of 70 crores in the same period of the last financial year. On a consolidated basis, quarter two FY24 revenue stood at 231 crores, which degrew by about 5% year-on-year, with an EBITDA loss of 10 crores. Net loss for the quarter was about 27 crores on a consolidated basis. Coming to half-year numbers, the company attained consolidated sales revenue of 458 crores, lower by about 12% year-on-year, and EBITDA loss of 8 crores, against EBITDA loss of 16 crores in the same period of last financial year. Net loss was 42 crores versus net loss of 53 crores in the same period of last financial year. On a consolidated basis, the major reason for negative EBITDA was sluggish demand and lower capacity utilization, with conversion costs not getting fully absorbed, and most importantly, not being able to pass on to the finished products prices. The share of profit of associates includes the share of profits of Dysta, which does not have any impact on the valuation of the stake of Kiri in Dysta. The value of Kiri's stake in Dysta is $603.8 million, determined by SICC by its judgment dated March 3, 2023, for the execution of the buyout ordered and upheld by the Supreme Court of Singapore. On a standalone basis, EBITDA margin are negative in quarter two on account of sluggish demand, flat material margins, and continuing higher and higher legal costs. The financial performance is sensitive to dynamic global markets, and the industry has also been facing challenging times for about 4 years. The sluggish demand and volatile raw material prices have increased the payment cycle and reduced inventory churning. The company expects it to improve in the coming quarters, and the payable cycle is expected to normalize in near future. With regards to the Diastar case, on basis of company's consequential order application filed with the Singapore International Commercial Court, and as per the directions given by SICC, in the case management conference, all submissions related to our application to be completed by all parties on 12 January 2024, which is on track, and final hearing on our application for the consequential order is already fixed on 24th to 26th January 2024. With that, I would now like to open the floor for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Priyansh, who's an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is that regarding this, where do we stand in terms of service of core documents on the those two Chinese gentlemen and the lady? And why is it taking so long? Already 4 months passed.
Sorry, you are referring to Singapore court?
Yeah.
That is what you are referring to?
Yeah.
So if you look at the, and if you read the previous disclosures, when the case management conference took place somewhere around August, there was a timeline which was decided by the court. And the timeline was spread over till January 12th to submit from both the sides the pleadings, the responses, the expert's opinion, the skeletal argument, the closing argument. There was a fixed timeline decided by the court, and the same timeline is being followed right now. That is not a change at all. And if you look at the hearing date is fixed. Now, what is the hearing for? You have to look at our detailed disclosure made earlier. Our application consists of two things. One is to transfer Diastar cash to Kiri to do a capital reduction, or sell the company, liquidate Diastar, and pay Kiri and fulfill the legal obligation. Also, Kiri has demanded interest in the application. So these are the main three parts of our application, and that is what court is going to decide on the hearing on January 24 to 26, 2024.
Sorry, sir, my question was different. I'm sorry for that. My question was regarding the service of core documents for the enforcement of legal cost, like the service of document were to be affected to Mr. Wang Wenjiang and Ms. Fan Jing. So this service of core document has happened or not yet?
Oh, that is a different track. So you are talking about the examination of judgment letter. Yes, yes. It has taken place. The service of summons has taken place for Fan. Service of document has taken place for Senda also, and there is a hearing fixed on November 14, which is next week, for their examination.
And sir, what about Mr. Ruan?
And Ruan, the service has not taken place yet because seems that Ruan is running around, right, and we are chasing him. So hopefully we should be able to affect the service soon for him too. We are in the process and all efforts are being made right now. If you go to Supreme Court's website, you will see the hearing date fixed at November 14th, which is like next week.
So sir, like since he couldn't serve the document on Mr. Rowan, so does it have any impact on this legal cost enforcement?
The Rowan is also an important person to be called and to be examined, right? So it is important for him to appear at some point in time without running away. And it is important for him to show up in the court. So we hope that he would be able to successfully, legally, serve to him. He has already been emailed. I'm sure he's aware of it. But legal serving, we will try to achieve as soon as possible.
So, just for understanding, sir, since for enforcement of legal cost, do we mandatorily need their appearance for the for the examination? So whether we will also need the similar kind of examination of judgment debtor for the main case of $603 million also?
$603 million, no, I think there is a confusion which you are having. $603 million and recovery and enforcement of $603 million is being affected by our application for the consequential order for which the legal process is already on. There is no requirement of enforcement of for the judicial examination of the debtor for 604 already there in the court. Rowan has already submitted affidavit in the court, right? And our response affidavit would be filed. So for 604, the court process is already there. Right, it is not needed for that. It's mainly for the legal cost where this is taking place.
Yes, sir. Can you please also just ask your executive team to make some submission to Stock Exchange regarding the basic or important contents of the affidavit which they have filed? Because so far we are we do not know that where do we stand because these guys are running away. So the shareholders and investors can know that how is the progress going on.
As I mentioned to you, the important date for the shareholders now, because the submissions are going to get completed on January 12, and January 24 to 26 is the date, right? That hearing is the most important hearing, and that hearing will also include the legal costs related matter. It will also include 604 as the buyout, and it also relates to if the interest is awarded to PD. All these points, and whether Dystar is to be sold, whether the receiver is appointed, whether the liquidator is appointed on Dystar, all these decisions would be made based on the hearing on January 24 to 26. So that's the important date now.
Very good, sir. So my last input here is that. I was just making some research on this thing, came to know that, somebody has mentioned that since these guys do not have funds in Singapore, they have to bring funds either from Hong Kong or from China. So for this, they need the approval of Central Bank of China. So there is some delay happening there. So here I just want to bring to your kind attention and give a humble suggestion here. That suppose if the Chinese government is not giving approval for them to make the payment of $600 million, I will just request that we have to be firm, because our Indian government in a similar kind of international arbitration case recently, or I will say 1 year ago, our government has paid $1 billion to CAN because CAN won the case of this retrospective taxation in the international arbitration court, and our central government has paid $1 billion. Their own money they have paid to them. So what I'm saying that whatever kind of pressure they can give, we should not come to any compromise, reduce the amount or whatever thing. We should get a full amount.
Of course. So we are fully geared up. We must get full amount and we must get interest also, because it is our right. They have oppressed us. So there is no question of any compromising or any settlement or anything like that. It is what court has given as a final verdict. We are entitled to receive and we must get that amount. I 100% agree with you. No doubt.
Because, Because sir, like this, we India are like much behind in China in terms of this prosperity or the economic wealth. So even the India, when India can pay $1 billion for them is nothing. And like their Chinese government is not paying. Yeah, like the company is paying. They have to only give the permission to transfer their seat. So it's like I noticed it somewhere. So I thought I should bring to your kind business.
Oh, I understand. And we also know this very well. And it's a very good point you raised. And it is an excuse. There is no evidence anywhere that Chinese government has denied or Chinese government has given instructions not to honor Singapore court order. I don't think even Chinese government has given anything that suggests to dishonor Singapore court order.
Absolutely agree, sir, because, yes, sir, same thing I was saying, because, sir, like, since India is also a sovereign country, China is also a sovereign country, yeah. They have to, like they have to follow this, like, this world economic rule, sir.
Correct, and they haven't said that they will not follow. It's only the ill intention and bad intention of the Chinese who are trying to raise these excuses, which
some
we
excuse,
dispute,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we don't agree with that.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. My last question, if you allow, sir. Like our main business is in deep red. So what kind of, you know, this like roadmap do you see to turn around and bring it in black, sir?
You are talking about the domestic business, correct?
Yes, sir.
Right. Actually, as you can see that compared to half year last year, this year half year is better, but still not to the satisfaction. And we have done a lot of changes in terms of reducing our costs, reducing expenses, and you will see in a quarter or two we should be on track. But at a lower demand, at a lower sale, we have adjusted ourselves to the new reality, and we don't see that the textile consumption and textile has improved. And unfortunately, dyes business is highly dependent and reliant on the textile business. So from that perspective, we hope that the overall industry recovers, which is going through a very bad phase right now. And 2024 can be a hopeful year. And if not, with our own improvements, with our own changes, with our own change of products implementation, which we have done, we should be able to come to profitability very soon.
And sir, in the quarter gone by, how much the legal cost was included in the P&L?
Legal cost has been quite significant, in fact. And for example, on a consolidated basis, if you take out the legal cost, we are already breaking even as on today.
Okay. Very good. My last submission, regarding this, since our dye business is down here, so how the business of Dye Star is performing? Like, this Dye Star is making profit in the quarter, or like, how are they doing? Like,
Dye Star business has also reduced, and if you see the disclosed results of Dye Star, it has also gone down. The numbers have gone down. The sales has gone down. So compared to 1 billion annual sales, the current projections of Dye Star appear to be around 800 million. But anyway, the existing performance of Dye Star or current performance of Dye Star or Dye Star's profitability, it has nothing to do with Kiri anymore. We are just consolidating because we continue to be shareholders.
Yes, sir.
Beneficiary to the profit of that company. Kiri has nothing to do with the economic performance of Dye Star. Kiri is only entitled to the buyout amount, and which has been decided on 3rd July 2018 valuation. So that is the amount that Kiri is entitled for, irrespective of what Dye Star's business performance is up or down.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. So like you mentioned, sir, like to Mr. Wan, like he already submitted his affidavit for the main case. So since the affidavit was submitted by Wan or by his legal representative, so since to the same person, we couldn't serve the court document for the legal costing.
For the current legal proceedings, representing Senda, Ruan has submitted the affidavit.
No. What I'm saying, for the legal cost, we have to also affect
Mr. Priyansh. Mr. Priyansh, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. In order to ensure that the management is able to address all the questions.
Okay. Fine. Go ahead.
Can you please rejoin the queue, please?
Sure.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question we got is from the line of Mr. Ayush Tandon from, he's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, Mr. Kiri, for all the efforts that you have been doing for the Diastar matter. I have two questions.
Thank you, Ayush.
Most welcome. In the previous call, you had mentioned that Diastar has about $350 million in cash in its books. First question is, how are we ensuring or how are we gaining comfort that the cash in Diastar is not being dissipated, because that is quite critical to our recovery?
So to give you the latest number, that cash has increased from 350 to 460 million now.
Okay.
So cash and cash equivalent in Diastar has even increased post that, as we speak as on today. And we have been participating in Diastar's board meeting. We have been keeping watch on Diastar's cash, and till now no cash has been dissipated. So cash is still in Diastar, and the recent submissions from Diastar to the court has also confirmed that this cash is available in Diastar.
Okay, that's very heartening to know, Mr. Kiri. The second question is that one of the prayers in respect of the suit that we have filed is about either winding down the company to sell the company and recover funds, or selling the company as is on a going concern basis. My question is, in the absence of the Longchain Group, what is the ability of Diastar to just stand on its feet and continue as a going concern? Because assuming the court eventually gives an order to sell off Diastar to a third party, in reality, do you see a third party coming in and stepping into the shoes of the management in the absence once Longchain is out of the picture?
Of course. Let me just address your questions in two parts. Okay. Number one, our prayers. Because Singapore Act defines the remedies for operation, for minority operation, and in addition to buyout, another remedy is winding up, the liquidation of the company. And winding up also includes selling company as a going concern. So any liquidator being appointed would make his first attempt to sell the company as a going concern, right? So even under the process of winding up, the first effort would be made to sell the company as a going concern. So that was the first part.
Right.
And second part, we don't see any problem for any new buyer who take over Diastar to be dependent on Longchain. As a matter of fact, we strongly believe, and we know the operations, we know the current purchase of Diastar from Longchain, I personally believe, is also inflated to some extent. That is my personal opinion, correct? And if any third party who purchases Diastar doesn't need to necessarily buy from Longchain, there are many other dispersed dice suppliers, and the one category of products that Diastar purchases is dispersed dice, and there are many other suppliers of dispersed dice, producers of dispersed dice available in China. To give you one more example, even before Longchain was acquired by, Diastar was acquired by Kiri and Longchain, Longchain was not a supplier to Diastar, by the way, and still Diastar was doing operating for more than 30, 40 years. So not necessarily that Diastar is dependent on Longchain. There are other available suppliers, and if Longchain wishes to supply, can also supply to Diastar even after it is being taken over by somebody else. So I don't see dependency on Longchain China for the new buyer for the operations of Diastar. And by the way, there are no plants of Diastar operation in China anymore. It's zero. All manufacturing facilities which are operating as of today are all outside China.
Okay. Understood. One quick follow-up question. This is the last one. So in respect of the cash that is sitting in DiStar, are we aware if Singapore laws permit the sort of capital reduction that we are asking for, which was going to be in the range of 350 or 400? Because I'm assuming you will need to leave some cash in the company.
Correct. So we have requested the cash to be transferred to Kiri for capital reduction is 282 million. Right. So we have also allowed enough room when we suggested this number so that DiStar's operational continuity is not affected. So out of 463, we have requested 282, and then it is prerogative of the court. If court is deciding for capital reduction, to how much, to what extent, of what amount is to be ordered.
Understood. That's all from my end. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Raghav Hans, who's an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Raghavji, please go ahead. Can hear you.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand a couple of things regarding the DiStar case only. So, is there a criminal liability on Sandar for not complying with the Singapore court's order, or is it only civil liability?
We strongly believe that there would be criminal liability if the contempt of court is triggered and contempt of court is proven and in the court, right? So the first step which we talked about, the judicial examination of the judgment debtor, correct? So that is the first step to establish and to check, to the extent what criminal liability can be imposed on Senda and its directors for not complying the order. But yes, contempt of court is one of the enforcement that we are seeking already.
Right. So, they are actually not complying with the court order, right? That's why the enforcement proceedings are there. So, once you file the enforcement proceedings also, and even if then Senda does not comply, will that be considered as contempt of court, or how far do we have to go?
Well, I think as far as the legal cost is concerned, right, we strongly believe that Kiri strongly believed that there was an intent problem, and that is where the criminal liability is on them, as far as the legal cost is concerned. But again, even for the 604 and the buyout order, Kiri has clearly indicated and given evidences that there is enough cash in DiStar. There is more than enough cash in Longshan. Longshan is also having more than $1.4 billion cash. DiStar is having sufficient cash. DiStar is zero debt company. There is enough financial, the strength of the company, which is Senda's asset, can raise enough funds to pay and honor the buyout order. Even court in its judgment has also mentioned that there is no evidence before the court that there are, they cannot comply the court order. The financial ability is already there, we all believe, and established. Now, even though having financial ability established and not paying and honoring is actually triggering and would be eventually end up having criminal and the contempt of court liability on Senda too for buyout order.
Right. And any indication from Senda side whether, they're like informally or anything, in the court itself, because there are a lot of talks in the court. So are they saying that they will not comply with the order, or they are saying that they will in fact comply with the order, just that they need some more time?
Till now they are saying that they would comply with the order.
But the actions are too negative.
Actions we don't trust. So we told the court that don't believe these guys. They have been telling this last 2 years. Even though they say that they will comply with the order, there is no intent to comply with the order. And that intent is proven by not paying legal cost. If you really had an intent to comply with 604, you would have paid legal cost by this time.
Right, or $8 million of the legal cost, right? That's what you're referring to.
That's And that is why our consequential order application, enforcement application proceedings are already progressing in the court as we speak.
Right. Okay. Understood. And we cannot, does the Singapore court have the jurisdiction to attach the physical assets of Dystar in case, you know?
The Singapore court has jurisdiction to essentially, have the attached their shares in Dystar and also Dystar shares in the subsidiary of Dystar.
Okay.
Both.
Okay.
Because all subsidiaries are under the Singapore legal entity.
Okay. Understood. Yep. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sukhbir Singh from SMIFS Limited. Please go ahead. Hello, Mr. Sukhbir.
Hello, am I audible?
You are audible. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Good evening and thank you for the opportunity, sir. Can you please provide us some outlook regarding the dye and pigment industry domestically and globally also?
I think if I give you the overall perspective of dyes as well as pigments, but because, you know, both industries are not doing well currently and probably going through one of the worst times in the history, the consumption has still not, picked up because textiles not doing well, and because of that, dyes industry is which is highly dependent on textile has been impacted. To give you certain numbers, the export of dyes and dyes related products has reduced drastically, and some product categories reduced up to 40%, 30%. In reactive dyes, it is almost 40% down year-on-year average basis. Right, so there is significant reduction in exports of dyes, number one, and that has also created a pressure on the prices in the domestic market and in the domestic sales, and also the price levels in India have been impacted due to lower demand in exports market. Number two, China is also an influencer in this industry, and China is facing a downturn. China is having reduction in its own consumption compared to Chinese capacity, so they also have pressure to export. And Chinese prices have been quite low for almost 2 years now, much, much lower prices compared to what we have seen before. So Chinese prices in global market are also putting kind of a cap for Indian products not to allow to have price increases beyond prices coming from China. So that angle is also affecting overall the industry not to have the margins, adequate margins, what we desire for.
Okay. So, sir, is there any visibility in the near future or like after 8-10 months, any gradual recovery?
Our internal discussion with many customers in many jurisdictions, the places where dyes are largely consumed, like Bangladesh, Turkey, Central America, everyone is expecting 2024 second half to have a very strong recovery somehow. So people are expecting that the downtime will still continue at least for a quarter or two, but then we are looking at quite a strong recovery later on. And there could be a logic because we also see that the stocks are running out. We have seen that even in forward supply chain, textile stocks are running out. Inventory levels are very low. Even at dyes production levels, people are not keeping raw materials inventory anymore. So across the chain, inventory levels are almost hand to mouth. And that will also trigger another spur of demand to have more and more volume pickup we can expect in 2024, either second half or maybe after the first quarter, We will see how soon it comes, but there has to be recovery in 2024 because this thing has been continuing too long by the time.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir, for the opportunity. And happy Diwali, sir.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and then one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mr. Rahul Jain, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is, a few months back, you had filed on the exchange that you have hired the Queen of England's Counsel, on your legal team to add some firepower. How is that progressing, and what is the broad sense from lawyers regarding this case, and what are our chances, and by when can we see a resolution? I mean, just to understand that since we're spending so much on legal fees quarter on quarter, and we've in fact increased that last few months.
Right. And yeah, so if you look at the legal team which we have strengthened, and the opinion from our legal team is very strong, and we are, you know, we are in a final phase of this enforcement, and where we fully trust Singapore system and Singapore judiciary that eventually there has to be a resultant outcome of the minority operation that KIRI has been suffering for almost 10 years now. Okay, so it has been established that since 2013-14, KIRI has been under minority operation suffering from Longshan. And 10 years is a very long time. Now, if you look at even after the conduct of Senda, even after court's final judgment, even after sitting on a very valuable asset, even after sitting on so much of cash, do not express an intent to honor the court, and which is not a good thing, which is not nice. And I think everyone in the legal system, judiciary, us, we all probably, you know, by the hearing on January 24, 26, might think that enough is enough. I mean, you know, you have dragged this to so many years, not only Senda's fault, but court process also continued. But I'm talking about after the final decree, after the final judgment, after November last year, after March this year, you have dragged too long and not to comply with the order. So this has to come to an end. Either the Dysar's cash has to be transferred to KIRI, or Dysar is to be sold or wound up, and the legal obligation must be completed. That decision has to come in the first quarter of 2024, and I am sure court will do a justice. I am sure court doesn't want their order to be a paper order and not actually enforced and executed. It is in nobody's interest. So the hearing from January 24 to 26, court is going to take call on all of our players, and we hope that there are sensible decisions made in their judgment, which allows the receiver, which allows the liquidator to get into Dystar and to execute the court orders. Because just leaving to these guys, they are not going to do anything. So the sensible way, what KIRI has proposed, is take away capital reduction objective from Senda or the sale of the company and put it to a third party which directly reports to court.
I understand that. My question is, in a broader sense, do you see the court being more sympathetic to expedite this case, seeing the kind of minority oppression KIRI has and your clear?
Court is very sensitive. If you look at the last few judgments, court has clearly written that this has been a long-stranded battle. Court has also recognized the extent of time these legal cases have taken. So court is very sensitive to this. And if you look at the way court has given timelines, in the last case management conference till January 24, it's all very strictly followed. Court has not allowed undue changes in the dates since August till date, and you will see that the hearing will also not be changed. It will happen. So court, I think based on the conduct of the court, to be fair, based on the discussion took place in the case management conference, court is very sensitive and court is concerned on the execution of the order very much.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. That is very helpful. And I hope 2024 is the year when, you know, you can finally finish all this pain, not just from the court side, but also from the business perspective. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priyansh, who's an investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, like I was just trying to understand this, the process.
Welcome back. Tell me, please,
yeah. Sir, am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Thank
please.
You, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Sir, I was just like trying to understand myself that because in this in your announcement dated 25th July, it was mentioned that that we need to serve this core document on both Mr. Ruan as well as Ms. Fan. So as you in the like during our discussion, you mentioned that that the core document has been served on the Senda as well as Fan. And
yes.
You also mentioned that Ruan has already given affidavit for the for the first this is 603 million. So I was just thinking that when Ruan has submitted affidavit either through himself or through his legal representative like lawyer. So
yes.
Why can't we serve the this court document to that lawyer who has submitted like his affidavit to the court because he is he is representing to Ruan.
Right. So we did that. So Ruan is represented. Very 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 important point. And we did the exact same thing. So we Ruan in affidavits in the submissions in SIC 4, the main case is represented by Raja and Tan. So our lawyers approached almost 3 times to Raja and Tan, okay? And also informed Raja and Tan that you are representing him in other cases, right? So you take this summons, and they specifically instructed our counsel that they do not have instruction to accept the summons, they do not have instruction to represent Ruan in this case. We have also got confirmation from Raja and Tan that they have instruction to represent Senda, right? So that is, you know, that also shows the kind of conduct coming from them. And court, I am sure, will have disliking with the way this conduct is happening. So the lawyer comes and says that, well, I represent Senda, correct? I am responding you within 3 hours of serving Fan. Still, I am saying that I do not represent Ruan, and I am still submitting the Ruan's affidavit in the other case where I am representing Ruan. You see, you know.
Yes. So that's what I think. That's what I was like this. I want to clarify that. Yes, sir.
That shows the kind of hypocrisy that these guys are presenting. But well, it's all there on the records. Let court see what kind of conduct we are dealing with here.
So means, what remedy we have, sir, on this one? Like, can we go back to the court, or generally, what happens in such cases where, like, for example, this party is not receiving the summon, then they through this executive body, like police or whatever, this summon is affixed on the premises of the of the party, and it is considered as duly served. So, can't we go like this? Or if you're not able to do like this, for example, then what is the remedy? How is it going to affect our case?
Right, so we are doing it, and we are also updating court. Court will see that Kiri has made enough attempts, and then court will take a call at some point in time that, well, you know, Kiri has made enough attempts, and they have to go with ex-party.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. And, thanks a lot for all your efforts, sir, and we hope that, with your leadership and the legal team we are working with, we will definitely bring a 600 million plus interest, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. The justice is served when we receive money, not before that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. We will give it a moment while the question queue assembles.
I think there are no further questions.
As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Giri for closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in this earnings conference call. I hope we have been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our investor relations managers at Valorem Advisors. Thank you very much. I wish all of you happy Diwali and prosperity for you and your family. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Kiri Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.